Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and I'm so excited to be here for our 8th season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it, and it was one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is always an honor and privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share. And I'm very pumped about my guest here with me today because she's been on the podcast before and we're going to get an update and it's going to be great. So Chloe Kozer, she, her, is a comedian and aspiring novelist who is halfway into writing two different books. It would have been smarter to finish one. She's trans, a lesbian, a wife, a mother, poly, and the only trans feminine Don Switch in the city who's not actually a sub. Check out her shows and writing, which are currently not available. Follow her burgeoning re-entrance to social media. She's Chloe Kozer. Am I saying your name right?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. She's Chloe Kozer on all of them. Chloe is always available to coach / give advice to trans and non-binary comedians free of charge. For everyone else, she both charges money and is retired. For real, reach out on any of her socials. She's an extremely good teacher of sketch, improv, comedic performance, characters, and game. Chloe, welcome back.
Hello. Can I tell you that I think two people in 9 years on the scene have taken me up for free coaching?
Like, really?
Free, like, yeah, and I way more paying gigs than that over the years, but no one will see the ticket for free. And I implore you, if you're curious, hit me up. I like being connected to the scene. I like teaching. I care about teaching. I'm good at it. I will help people get better at comedy. Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, when I post about this, I'll make sure to replug the, this is a real offer, everybody.
Yeah. Extremely real offer. And I feel like I can especially reiterate it because I think there's an overwhelming chance that nobody takes me up on it.
Yeah.
Oh, it should be a bummer. It's not what I want. I like the work.
That's amazing. So have you, okay, so I have a million questions because I haven't talked to you in years. And
yes.
You were, I'm pretty sure you were on the first season.
Yeah, no, it was.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I don't know what year it was. I felt like it was, I'm surprised when it was the first season because I felt like it was like a regular operation by the time I showed up. But maybe you were just like in the swing of things.
It might have been either the end of the first season or the beginning of the second season. But we were in person, which actually leads me to believe that it was the first season.
Okay, yeah. It definitely was in person.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure that I only had one season in person, which is kind of bonkers.
Oh, fascinating.
Maybe two. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyways, how the heck are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's what I've been thinking since you first messaged me and were asking him back on the podcast is like, what on earth am I going to talk about? Because since my wife and I started trying to conceive, I just kind of like left the scene. And if anyone is just blind listening to this, I used to be I was the first trans non-binary performer at the UCB Theater on either coast. For a while, I felt like I was the only trans comedian in New York, which I know wasn't the case, but it's sort of like what was available. And I went from really knowing nothing about being trans, like I'd sequestered myself from queer culture, I think as an attempt to stay closeted, to suddenly being its like active vanguard, completely ignorant and like mostly solo in like a very large visible place.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was the right person for the job. It is partly why I think I like, well, I know it's why I took a step back from improv and eventually why I think I like kind of moved away from things is because it was very hard. And then in October, I signed up for a couple improv classes at UCB, which I ended up having to drop because my son got me sick so much.
Oh,
that
no.
I had to lose both from attendance. And it was the most magical thing conceivable, which is that both classes I was in had at least one trans non-binary person, and they had no idea who I was. And when I
Wow.
tell you how good that felt, like how legitimately, like that it moved on, because I felt like if I didn't do everything, if I didn't succeed at everything, then there was going to be like nobody there. And it's like, no, it's just moved on. They asked pronouns at the start of class. Like one of the teachers, I think, is was non-binary identifying. It was great. It was great, and I didn't matter. And I loved it. I really, really loved it.
That sounds amazing. And based on what you're saying about how much you love this, so what I'm about to say might be controversial. So feel free to call me in on it if it is too controversial. But I think you matter. And I think that like and I think that the like your experiences in like coming out on the scene and being the only person at UCB, whether or not, because I'm pretty sure I was the first person at the Magnet to come out as trans non-binary, and like, it's like a burden to have to like educate people all the time and like kind of hold all the microaggressions and the macroaggressions and et cetera. But to your point, like, I feel like for me as an educator, and I'm curious, like, what you think. Like, it's kind of to like to then become like unknown, but all of the hard work that we put in and the pain that we've felt, I'll speak for myself, that I felt, almost kind of seems worth it, right? Like, it's like they don't even know I exist, and they're ch and like now these people can feel safe or safer in a space where I had to like navigate and build the structure that they're now flourishing on. You know what I mean? So
Yeah,
like,
no,
you
absolutely.
matter, like hardcore matter.
No, thank you. I mean, I do feel like me coming out was good. And I mean, I like not to toot oneself's own horn, but I have had enough people and like the dozens say that they started doing stuff in comedy because they hadn't even necessarily seen anything I'd done. They just knew there was a trans comedian at the theater who was like established on a house team, like had a running show, like that was enough. And so it's not that I don't matter. It's just it's that it's whatever happened happened, and it's a better place for all that now. And it honestly felt it felt really, really beautiful and like really worth it. Because I am so combative and confrontational and erratic, and now I'm realizing that through a lot of it, I was like having hypomanic episodes. Like it was very volatile. And I think I am positive I burned some bridges along the way. But yeah, I mean, it was also always a great scene full of like very, very well-meaning people with, I mean, I don't even know if there was an exception to them being well-meaning. But to see it like completely move on and be a thing where like it just felt regular, and I could tell that the TNB people in the class were like, they were just excited to be in class. Like it
Yeah.
didn't feel like they were doing the kind of math that I used to. It was spectacular. It was absolutely spectacular. And I brought it up first because it just made me feel like so happy, frankly.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear your legacy. It's amazing.
And then maybe I come back and do more. Well, that's it. I started to, and I still don't know how to make it fit with being a mom. And I'm wondering if I kind of did in comedy what I set out to do, but I don't know. I keep on coming up with ideas that I want to put on stage, but I just don't know if I feel the same kind of drive to like will I ever be as hungry as I was then, which I feel like you need in comedy. So I don't know.
Yeah, you have to be really hungry to like do it. And like, 'cause I used to do stand up and people would like ask me like why quit? Why don't you? And I'm like, I didn't want it bad enough. Like it is so much fucking work. And I was like, I'm just not that hungry for it.
And as much as I love it, I don't know. I think I do really love performing though. I think I need to like occasionally do like character nights. Like if I'm not gonna make it a career, like I still have like a professional tier skill set as a comedian. Like I can go do a show. But yeah, it's funny to have gone from that and then to be in like such a different identity. Like yeah, I mean motherhood is a trip. It's just like hard transition to that. But I have a little boy. He's 3 years old and just a little bit of change. In a couple of years, we're telling we picked out a masked name, a femme name, and a non-binary name. So we're gonna tell him about that young. So it's like, hey, if this turns out to be wrong, because the doctors can be wrong about who you are, we have that covered. If you want those names, if you want a different one, that's also okay.
Wow.
But I did change the femme name when as soon as I found out the assigned at birth gender. Originally, the femme name was going to be Matilda, and then I realized that if my child turned out to be a woman, they would be a doll. That I was like, I need a sharper name than Matilda. It's Lucinda now. Like,
It's
I got that.
great.
There has to be some like edge.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you're a mom.
Yeah.
And I remember in our other episode, we talked about your yearning to be a mom. And so we're here
Yeah.
today. So tell, like, what's it like to be a mom? And like, just bring us in on your experience.
Yeah, it's wild. First, it didn't we did in vitro because I've had bottom surgery and we had a semen frozen before I started hormone therapy. And I assumed that the people who worked in that field would have some familiarity with trans people, and they never knew who I was. They never knew why I was there. Even just as like my wife's partner, like the fact that I was, even if they thought we were cis lesbians, they were like, I don't know why your friend is with you. Like, where's the
That is
man?
wild.
We had blood taken to test for dangerous recessives, and they threw away my blood. I
Chloe.
think they saw two of his names and they were like, those stupid dykes, and just tossed my they threw away my blood and didn't test it.
Oh,
I had
Lord.
to go back. But it was wild. And I'm glad I had and have, frankly, really bad fertility dysphoria. And I was kind of hoping that would fade. It luckily didn't crop up much during the pregnancy, but yeah, it still really kills me. I couldn't carry him. Like it's still like absolutely like lethal dysphoria. But also like with my wife, he couldn't exist unless I were trans. So that's the only way he could have two moms and have like him specifically exist. So I don't know. Dysphoria is a trip. God, it's been 10 years. I feel like I'm just switching up my style from like a little bit more goth to a little more sporty. And truly with my girlfriend today, like I've been up for 10 years and I was like, am I masculine if I'm sporty? If I'm sporty, does this look, I feel like I've been walking a little bit bouncier. Is that masculine? Do I look masculine if I'm standing like this? And I've been there, like trying to show her. And she's just like, sporty and dressy is not on the masculine feminine axis. You are absolutely fine.
Yeah.
So it's wild when those like old, like silly dysphorias can crop up. But by and large, being a mom makes me feel very ironclad in my gender. It's actually why I started taking, I stopped improv because I couldn't stand playing male characters or being like labeled as male on scene. And then with the mom stuff, I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm a mom. That feels safe. And it worked fine. Turns out if you don't do improv for 5 years, you cannot remember to agree in a scene is what I
Oh
found. I tried so hard, but
no.
I was unhinged.
You're like, no,
Yeah,
not
I know. I just
that.
kept on like adding, and I like saw myself doing it, and I'm like, I remember enough the technique that I was like, I could coach this woman. I could teach her that what she's doing is wrong. But in this moment, I have no idea what to say.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
yeah,
No, please.
I feel like I'm being very hyperactive. But Yeah, being a mom is wonderful. It's wild to think that, like, for him, this is completely normal. Like, completely normal. For his friends that grow up, it's going to be like completely normal that there are two moms and they're all going to clock that like one of them's trans. And like, I didn't meet another out trans woman until I was out. I was 32, the first time I like had a conversation with a trans woman, and that's just like. Yeah, he's fine. He's not growing up in suburban Texas. He's growing up in, like, just like a chill neighborhood in Brooklyn with a lot of queers. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had talked to, I'd maybe met like one or two trans people pre me coming out. One wasn't out, but we all kind of like gravitated towards each other, which is nice in hindsight. It's like, it's like you kind of were like, yeah, I think we're the same or we're
Eggy magnetism. I
similar.
look back to the other really like sad boys that I spent my college time with, and I'm like, I hope you know your girls now. I hope for the time this passed, you figured it out, because that's definitely what we all were.
And I'm just thinking too about, okay, so how are, so tell me about this transition from goth to sporty.
That's been very recent. Before the episode, Dubs asked me if there was anything I wanted to avoid, and there is something I want to avoid, but I'm going to talk about anyway. I've been on Ozempic for a year, and I like content warning, weight loss, and all that. And it was really because I have arthritis and I have really bad joints, and frankly, I just wasn't that mobile anymore. And so I'm down like almost 100 pounds. And for me with my arthritis, like, it's the difference between like being able to get on the ground and play with my kid and not being able to do that, which has been awesome. But then I also like, I don't know, all the goth adjacent stuff hasn't been feeling as good, and I've been feeling like more energetic. And so I've just been like, when I first came out, I made a list of like the women that I felt like were gender to me, and the list pretty evenly divided into like witchy evil spellcasters and then like violent fist fighters. And I think I'm in my violent pugilist era of gender is what happened.
Okay, great. So are you like, have you had to like get new clothes? Has that been nice?
I've had to ditch all my clothes twice so far. And as I'm getting closer to what I think is going to be like my stable weight, like the first 40, 50 pounds, it's like the clothes still kind of fit, and then you just start like tearing through sizes for like equivalent amounts of weight. But yeah, I've had to ditch everything a couple times. I like am wearing jeans, and that's a very normal thing for me now. I never thought I was going to wear pants or have pockets ever again at one point in my life. I was like, there's no way. There's no way I wear a pant with a pocket. Yeah. Gender is so absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, it's been fun. I've been like feeling better, and I had to do a lot of physical therapy because I had a lot of injuries as well, along with the arthritis. So it's not just that my joints are bad. It's like also like my back is injured, my shoulder's injured, like my elbows and knees are injury prone. So there's been like, it was a lot of years of working on it before I saw any momentum with it, which was frustrating because that's like I was like peeling back layers of injury with the physical therapist. It was like, now I'm more mobile, now I'm less mobile, now I'm more mobile, now I'm less mobile. And it wasn't just like two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes it was like one step forward, four steps back. And that was very challenging, and it was hard to keep the faith because it all hurt to do. And it was like, why am I doing this if I like still am in bad pain? But that's been one of the biggest things about this last year, is just an enormous amount of pain reduction in my life, for which I feel like wildly blessed. Like I've been pretty well functionally immobile and in horrible chronic pain several times in my life, and then I've also not been in that several times in my life, which I think is unbelievably rare to have both.
Well, I'm glad that you're like feeling better and mobile and more sporty and have more energy. That's really great.
I just, I mean, in a lot of ways, kids will like they add a lot of like functional complexity, but they also simplify things. It was like I don't didn't know that I necessarily cared enough to fix myself, but like to be there for him, like to be able to play with him, like yeah, gotta do it,
Yeah,
gotta do
for
it.
sure.
Real math gets real simple all of a sudden.
There you go. What's your favorite thing to play with your kiddo?
One of my favorite is for sing twinkle twinkle we sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star right at the end of Milk and Book. Milk and Book is what we do for bed. And we chant Milk and Book as the bottle of milk is microwaving.
That's amazing.
But sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and he will start he's a little bit like mush mouth in his pronunciation. He's a little behind in speech, but like he's very ahead in reading. My wife and I are both ADD, and she's a little on the spectrum, so he's shown up somewhere in that. But he'll sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but then he starts singing gibberish lyrics, like it's a huge shit-eating grin, and then I go, "Those aren't the words!" And I just tickle the ever-loving shit out of him, and he dies laughing at it. And that is my favorite. The fact that he is like messing with me verbally, like that there is enough sophistication now for him to like have his own form of like repartee. Yeah, that's the best. Everything we do that is like, I feel like verbally, comedically connective is just, oh wow. It's crazy because he was a potato 2 years ago. Like he was a potato and his head was a sphere and he couldn't feed himself. And now he plays verbal pranks.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. Do you think is he f so sounds like he's funny, and do you think he'll be funnier than you?
Man, that would be challenging because I was really, really miserable and needed something to like about myself. So I chased that
Okay,
very
got
hard.
it.
I think about this sometimes is that there was a like throughout elementary school, middle school, and high school, I was insufferable. I would do anything for a laugh. Nothing I did was funny. I wanted friends and like attention so bad, and I had no good way to get it. And the thing is I never got over that. I just got better at it. Like I just eventually got good at being funny and winning people over. And like I still need everyone to like me. I just can mostly do it. And I hope that he does not have I don't think that trauma makes you funny. I think it maybe can give you like a drive because I know some very funny people who don't feel the need to be comedians. What a blessing. But yeah, I hope he doesn't pursue comedy just because it's a shit show, but and he does, I'm sure he'll be fantastic. Honestly, he's just a really sweet, brave, happy kid. Like he'll just run around the apartment saying happy sometimes, and it's like I'm depressed enough that I feel like I'm always an insufficient mom, but it's like that's pretty hard to refute.
Yeah, that is. It's
Yeah.
some solid evidence. So you brought up like this like dysphoria, just like generally and like a couple different ways. And I think it's important because like you've been out for,
Ten
excuse me,
years. Like
10
just
years
about 10 years.
and you still experience it, and I've been out maybe like 11 years or something, or 10, 12. I don't know how to do math, but like,
Yeah.
I think whatever. I can't do math. And I also still sometimes feel it. And I think that people outside of the trans non-binary community might not realize that like there is no end, quote unquote, to transition. And it's like, it's an ever evolving, ever kind of fluid experience. And I
Yeah.
appreciate you sharing because it's, I think people don't always understand that.
I think it's important to talk about. I feel like I've had a flurry of kind of dysphorias coming back recently. I also I decided I wanted to get like some hair stuff done for my hairline, and so I went in And it was supposed to just be a fact-finding meeting with a facial feminization surgeon. Dr. Wrightson, she's fantastic. I can't figure out some insurance stuff to get on the schedule. But I went with my girlfriend and I was just wanting to find out about that. And I swear by the end, I would have bought a bridge from this woman. I'm gonna get like everything done.
Wow, cool.
But it was all like we're just gonna do some like little things. Like it's easy, and there are like for some reason I thought it'd be a bad candidate for FFS. Like I thought I wasn't gonna heal well. And I had done no research because researching it made me dysphoric. And I the bottom of surgery I needed real bad. And this I wasn't as sure about. And so I just kind of didn't do it. But as I've been like, I feel like any time I'm moving towards euphoria, I'm getting dysphoria. Like there's like a clashing of like that getting addressed and working on it. But even beyond dysphoria, I wish people who are in their major gender confusion would understand how much doubt there still is and how normal that is. Like there are still times, even post bottom surgery, even after all the work I did to get that, even after like everything about being a woman being like the foundation of me being a happy person, there's still times in a day I'll be like, am I a crazy man? Am I a man who is insane? And I'm pretty sure the answer is no, but it does still occur, and it does still feel shaky and weird sometimes. Because I feel like everyone I've talked to in the early stages of coming out, they're like, yeah, but sometimes I don't think I am. And it's like the fact that you ever think you are is damning evidence. It's just people don't walk around for like 5 out of 7 days and go, I think I'm the other one. No way.
That's so true. And I wonder too, 'cause I don't know that I've ever felt like doubt, like, but I think I've felt like, well, maybe it is doubt. I don't know. Maybe I just never have thought about it using that word. But like, I think what I'm trying to say is, I found the like whatever word we could use for it, like the doubt or whatever it might be, has gotten stronger with this administration of just like the constant barrage of attacks on trans people and the dehumanization, like. I know that they're wrong, like scientifically and factually and all of the ways. And yet I'm still like, but why is it like, why are people voting for this? And like, is this real? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's like part of for me, like what the deal is.
I think I have the opposite reaction to it. I
Oh,
feel like
interesting.
stuff like that makes me more sure that I'm right. Like, that's what people do to like valid groups. Like no one goes after this is just a group of people that isn't like they don't feel like an internal urge, but like about like Wiccans. Like no one's like legislating things against people who do witchcraft, which is maybe should be like to that ultra conservative like religious side, maybe should be a little bit scarier, but no, it's the thing that you have to be. Is the thing that you don't choose to be. Like that's what has always been attacked. That's always been the unifier of hate, is to find like real people, real vulnerable people. Like they couldn't attack it if it was fake, because it would just disappear. It's like how that one was it Richard Spencer who got like punched in the face and then disappeared. It's like, no, they'll go away because they can go away. I can't go away. So yeah, in that regards, it's like, no, it if they're picking it as their unifier, it must be valid.
It's a good point. And just goes.
But again, I'm a wildly confrontational person, so maybe that's just where that comes from in my heart.
No, I think you're onto something.
Apologies to Wiccans. I'm not saying you don't need to be around. I'm just saying that if you were raised in a world without Wicca, you wouldn't go, I think I know what a witch is and I need to be one. I think if I were anywhere, I would be like, I gotta not be a guy.
Yeah. I also just think it's interesting how, I don't know, how we both react differently to what's going on in
Yeah.
the culture. And like, it's just, I think, I've had conversations with folks, kind of making blanket statements or judgments around like trans and non-binary people. And I've had to push back and say, we are all different. Like, just because we have this identity doesn't mean that some of us can't be assholes, that some of us can't be great, that some, like all these things.
Yeah.
And I think this just goes to show, like, things can hit us and impact us differently, just depending on our experiences and our tools.
Yeah, and I mean I think it is worth calling out like the like axes of privilege that I exist on, just like as a white woman and like as like an upper middle class woman. Like my experience is wildly different. And an incredibly safer. Like I don't, we've decided, even though we have family in both places, that it's not safe to go to Texas or Florida anymore. Because if I ran afoul of any cop and I went to jail, it'd be a men's prison. I'd be done. Which honestly puts me in approximately the same position as a black person would be anywhere in America. And feeling that suddenly feeling like cops are a danger to me are enough to keep me out of a state. And I think that's a valid response to that threat. But that danger exists in such different extremes for like different members of our community. Like, yeah, I was just talking about in therapy this week. I tend to like hermit a bit when I'm like down, and it's harder to find time to get out. But I just feel like I haven't been around trans people much. I've got to get out and do that. And I always have this like, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome or like survival guilt of like being affluent and like the fact that I wanted to like look into FFS and like we can just afford it. Like it's, I don't know. I don't feel bad that I get it. It just feels gross that everyone doesn't. Or maybe I do feel bad that I get it. I don't know. It's. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that. I also hold a lot of privileges and think about it all the time of just like I move through the world. I move through the world sometimes like scared, and like my parents used to live in Texas and I was like, you gotta leave. So they moved back to Ohio, which is better than Texas and Florida, but still not the most wonderful state. But I think about too about, Black trans women, black trans folks generally, or people of color, and it's just like it's not, and it's not oppression Olympics, but it's, I think it helps put things into perspective of like, okay, so how can I show up for my community and use my privilege to help uplift other folks? And so I'm always constantly thinking about that.
Yeah, because it's not, to be clear, like I still don't know if like guilt is the right word. I just like, because it's not like a survival guilt thing. Like I'm not trying to like have my guilt addressed or like center that, but it is just like I mean, it's important to talk about, because I think it can be really easy to just like, it is really easy to hide in privilege. Yeah, it's weird because my in-laws aren't even from Florida. It's just like that's where they decided to retire to, and my wife really had to have like a come to Jesus talk with them this year, and we're like, no, this is not an option. It's not up for discussion. Like we're not just sending Mary and the baby down without me, because I'm not going to be like kicked out of family events
Yeah.
because they're in a place that's not safe for me to be. Like screw that. They should. I know they're not listening to this. Cozers, y'all should move. Y'all should move. You're not from there. Go back to Illinois for the love of God, weirdos. Like my family has some roots in Texas. They should still move. But the argument is better than just like having like found a place for a lot of people who've retired to and enjoying the golf there. Like, God, you got a grandkid who can't go to you. Move.
For real. Yeah, seriously. Okay,
It'd
I've
be
n
so funny if this is the one thing of mine they ever watch, and it's the one where I like the only time I've ever had they talk shit about them.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so okay. I'm gonna pivot us a little bit. I have one last question, and then I'm gonna take us into our lightning round. And my last question is, thinking over the last, let's say 8 years since you've been on the podcast,
Yeah.
maybe like, can you think of one like lesson you've learned that you're like, wow, I'm really happy that that I learned that?
One thing in 8 years, oh, that's very challenging because I've absolutely like grown a lot since then. I think it's that you don't have to do everything all at once. Like, and that's the thing I'm still struggling with, it is I'm like switching over to like writing as my big creative outlet. Is like I want to like hit it sprinting and do all these things and like maximize. But even just like being like a trans comedian, like trying to like do all that, and like that I didn't have the impulse to like find more community and try and bring it in, or like get more educated, that I was like, I am just going to take this on the chin. Like you do not have to. It's like there are always other people, there's always help, and that you should rely on that, because like, no one can exist without community, but especially if you are among intersections, you need it. It's vital. It's like the difference you can see in like trans people who are only online and the negativity there versus the feelings of people who are mostly in the world or on the world and online, who are like way chiller about everything and way happier. I never felt right about my gender until, like it felt like it was always going to be wrong, until the first time I met another trans woman, which was on a date, and showed up. She's like I said, she's a DJ, Octo Octa. But I saw her, and like she was just so gorgeous and amazing and herself and a person and a woman. And I was like, it's not trying to be something and failing. You just are. Like, you just are that. And I learned that the second I saw her.
Wow.
So yeah, don't go it alone. By Octo Octa's music. I don't know where it is.
Great. Well, we'll run to this place where the music is and we'll buy it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I love that. There's always other people and there's always help. That's really nice. All right, lightning round, Chloe, and have been gently called in that my lightning round has generally been too binary, so they're open-ended, which makes them slightly more challenging to answer, but it's just for
Okay.
fun and you can skip and pass, etc. Are you
I
ready?
will answer every question correctly. I'm
Yes.
excited for everyone to see how well I do with this.
Yeah, you're going to be great. Okay, where's your favorite place to think?
Favorite place to think? Walking. Just walking in Park Slope, headphones on.
All right, an influential queer person in your life.
That's not a famous one. Octavia Leona Koehner, one of my very, very dearest friends. She's a maniac. She builds community. She's artistically heroic. Octavia.
Amazing. Hi, Octavia. What is a song that you can listen to on repeat forever?
Ooh, there are actually a good number of those. It's been Wandering Star by Portishead. It feels like both positively and negatively, it is oblivion, and my brain often needs that.
Great. I haven't heard of Portishead. I mean, I've heard of Portishead. I just haven't heard that name in so long. I have
It
to.
kind of happened since college. I was honestly kind of looking the thing to fill with Radiohead, because they have some questionable apologetic views about Israel, and I'm like, I need music that is like soul crushing, that is not them, because I can't listen to them anymore.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, what's one thing you want to be known for?
Well, hopefully soon, writing. Writing would be nice. I don't know. I hope people think I'm nice. I
I think you're
hope people
nice.
think
Okay, think of a concert you'd love to go to. Which what's the
I'm
what's the concert?
I would love to see TV on the radio again. My wife and I caught them in the drummer's hometown, like when they were like kind of exploding, and it was the smallest concert, smaller venue. They went 2 hours. They were dripping sweat by the end of the first song. There was no reason for them to go hard. And it's like, no, they just love it. Best show, every song better than the album version, and one of the best albums ever. Dear Science by TV on the Radio. Good God, what an album.
Okay, so great. Part two of this question is you're at this face melting show. What song are you going to leave to go to the bathroom?
I'm gonna piss my pants. I don't think there's a single track by TV on the Radio that I would not tip my hat to. I thought it was one I would lose my mind to, which would be Wolf Like Me, because their live performance of Wolf Like Me on Letterman is, I think, my favorite live performance video of all time. Like, even edging out like Prince, My Guitar Gently Weeps, like that maniac performance by Prince. Wolf Like Me, TV on the Radio, on Letterman, look it up. They are berserk. Oh, they're so good. Yeah, I'm not leaving for any songs. I'll die before I pee and miss one of theirs.
Okay, good to know. Where do you find joy?
Loved ones. Love has always been the thing I wanted most in my life. And romantic love, most specifically. And I have a wife who I've been with for 18 years now. I've got a girlfriend that I've been with for almost 4. That's Everything else past that is just like whatever, but having my wife, my kid, like that's always been what I wanted. That's always been the dream. Everything else was to get that.
It's beautiful. All right. I have one binary question that I probably even asked you the
Yes.
first season or whenever the last time you were here. Bagels or donuts?
Bagels.
Yeah, that's right.
Bagels. Donuts are real delicious, but
Yeah,
bagels. I'm
just.
a sweet girl. I'm a sweet tooth girl. It's bagels.
You're right. They're not, it's not, it's not a right or wrong question, but that is the right answer.
I think there is a right or wrong one. And as someone who really loves donuts and probably eats them more often than I eat bagels, the answer is bagels.
Yeah, it's just bagels. Chloe, this was so nice. Thank you for coming back and for sharing and for being such a joy and a light. This was lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. This has been great to feel relevant again, and just to like have some queer joy, because you bring so much queer joy to this community. I hope you see the effect you have, because it is gigantic. I adore you.
Wow, that's really nice. Thank you. And thank you for coming out again.
Two times.
Two times.
Thank
Thank
you for coming.